Welcome to the IntelliSea podcast with your hosts, Joost Voorhout and Emilio Vargas.
Joost, I think I spoke to you the other day about someone I spoke to real briefly about an interesting situation as it relates to water leaks and the effect on premiums. But I invited her today to meet with you and to speak to us about her personal experience with water leaks and her experience as a realtor and some advice she would give her clients with leaks in her home or in the home that she's selling. So let me introduce to you Cynthia.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, Cynthia. Welcome on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Cynthia, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started, if you could.
I am a realtor in the San Diego area, mostly Poway, Rancho Bernardo. I've been an agent for almost 5 years. I focus on both listings and buyers, and I've lived in the area for almost 20 years. Love it here. Would never live anywhere else.
All right. I think we share that.
Yeah. So, Joost, I want to tell you a little bit more about myself and Cynthia. We're friends through church, and a few years ago, I had an idea to do a little something with a restaurant, and she was helping me with some locations, and then that obviously didn't pan out, but Cynthia has been a pretty good resource when it comes to some realtor, realty, real estate type questions that I've had in the past, including this one about water leaks. So, Cynthia, I want to jump into that if we could. You were telling me when we last spoke that you had some renovations being done to your home, and as part of the renovations, you decided to do some re-pipe work. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Yes, I live in a neighborhood that had polybutylene plumbing. I've known about it since we moved in. I didn't really think much about it at the time. It was all installed by a company called Quest back in the early 90s. Most houses built at that time did have polybutylene. There was a class action lawsuit against the company, and anybody that had a flood, because they did cause a lot of leaks that caused floods in the homes, their house would be repiped. I was one of the quote-unquote lucky ones in that my house did not have a leak in the time frame specified in the class action lawsuit. So my house was not living there, and hearing of other houses in the neighborhood that continue to have leaks even after the fact, we decided that it was time. You know, we need to just go ahead and replumb and pay for it ourselves. So we paid for that and had the whole house replumbed to copper, thinking we're good now. And in the process of doing that, they discovered several leaks that had been there for many, many years, possibly as many as 5 or 6 years, that caused mold that we had no idea was there. It was throughout most of the downstairs. It cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. I was told not to make an insurance claim by the person doing the home improvements because it would have just slowed everything down and taken too much time. So we didn't put in a claim, but actually there were two leaks that we didn't know about.
You were talking about mold. Did you know what kind of mold there was? Was it the black mold that people are so afraid of?
Black mold, yes.
All right. So there's quite a bit of a cleanup operation, I can imagine.
Let's just say there isn't a room in my house that didn't end up getting touched.
Oh my God. So beyond the problems with costs and money and all that stuff, you had to move out of the rooms and
we had to move out of the house for 2 months. Yeah, we couldn't live in the house for 2 months.
Wow, that's probably the biggest problem I've seen or heard of.
Mm-hmm.
In the business that you're in, do you see beyond the cases where you have these homes that are known polybutylene issues, do you see a lot of those types of issues? Do you see a lot of water problems?
Water problems are probably the most obvious thing that realtors look for when helping a buyer purchase a home. We are looking for evidence of either current, past, or present leaks. Now I know what to look for. And say, hey, it looks like they fixed the drywall here. What was there a leak? And almost inevitably they say, yes, we had a leak here, we had a leak there.
I see. So most of the problems that you encounter, are they on the smaller size if you were to compare it against the problem that you had yourself, I take it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're mostly it's just either the roof leaked or they had a small leak in the plumbing, usually behind the toilet or behind the shower.
Right. And how do people typically deal with this? Do they fix it themselves? Have professionals come in? Do they deal with insurance, or do you even know how they typically deal with this?
It's obviously across the board. People deal with it different ways. When there's a lot of mold involved, most people will actually make a claim. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had a client who was trying to sell their home. They actually had two leak claims that were both polybutylene related, but they were over the course of 2 days. So one happened on a Monday, the other one happened on a Wednesday. They put the claim in on Monday, the other claim in on Wednesday. Even though they were both from the same incident, the insurance company called it two separate claims. And so that counted as two claims against the house. And so when they went to sell the house, the buyers tried to get insurance, and it ended up costing them double what it would have cost because they had two claims, well, actually a total of three, because it was a third claim on an unrelated issue. But because of all those quote unquote claims, the insurance for the buyer ended up being double what it would have been if there hadn't been those claims.
Oh, so that's something I don't quite know, or maybe not even understand. So if a home has a reputation of one or more claims, that's then being held against the next owner in their insurance situation. Is that how it sort of travels with the home, that history?
Yes. Yes. If it's too many claims over a short period of time, the new owner will inherit that home's history, and it will be count against them when it comes to getting their insurance, their home insurance.
So upon purchasing time, is that type of discussion being held? Do you have claims against the house and that sort of thing? And is that then being brought into the negotiation of the house?
Yes. Most agents will request what's worked as part of the inspections and things that they find out about the home. And that is how many insurance claims have been made on the home in the last, I don't know how many years, 5, 10 years. And you'll see all of the claims. That way, you know, somebody buying a home will know if somebody made a leak claim or a roof claim or any sort of a claim. So it's yet another way of knowing problems with the house.
Wow, Emilio, did you know that? So in essence, if we don't keep track of the leaks that we have in the house and contain the damage thereof, that it basically goes towards your negotiating power when you are busy selling the house sometime later.
No, I
precisely.
I was floored when Cynthia shared this with me, because at first when she said it, I didn't quite comprehend, because it didn't quite link up in my mind that somebody else's problem would mm-hmm. carry over to a new owner. But then when she explained it thoroughly, I was like, oh no, this could be a disaster for some people. In fact, Cynthia, didn't you share something about a recent client that was about to come out of escrow because of something related to this?
Right. It's the same client. Once the buyers found out what their insurance was going to cost, they almost backed out of the deal.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it was way more than had been estimated.
So help me quantify this, if you will. So are we looking at a certain number of leaks, size of the claim? How do they measure this risk for the next buyer?
I think it's the number of claims, because one of the three claims that they were dinged for was actually a non-claim. They were told, you're not even covered. But but because they even called the insurance company about it, it counted as a claim against the house, even though there was no payout.
Wow. I don't even know if you can do this, but let's say we take a price of a house of, say, $800,000 when it would come to market. And let's say that within some reasonable time frame, the $800,000 would be honored by the new owner. And that house has absolutely no history. Right next to it is another house, same situation, everything equal, but it has history. Let's say that it also would be $800,000 worth when it's on the market, but now we know the history. How much is the value that it goes down to?
I don't know that I can make that assessment. It all depends on the loan, because your ability to get a loan is based on your total cost. And that includes your principal, your interest, your tax, and insurance.
Sure.
So your insurance is factored into your monthly payments. And if your insurance payments are going to be too high that you no longer qualify for the loan, then you can't pay that much for the house.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So there's a bit of a dynamic factorization there. But it is, of course, very clear that a history, as you pointed out, is a potentially very damaging situation for your ability to sell the house to whomever. You basically lower your market if anyone still wants to buy that house. So that's an important thing that we really haven't really talked about, Emilio, that if you have leaks, our ability to get to our leaks with our device very quickly is nice, But I didn't know it was this nice that you can actually end up with a much better way of retaining the value of your home.
Yeah, you know, that was very surprising to me. It was eye-opening because I thought if you have a big leak in your home, you would want to go to insurance to offset the cost. Because right. Cynthia, I want to go back to the leak that you experienced in your home. But if it's several thousand of dollars, you know, what you pick that number, let's say it's a $10,000 damage claim, and you decide not to file that because it could lower the value of your home by $100,000, that could be a disastrous emergency situation that you thought insurance was going to cover it, but now it actually hurts you later on down the road. Not only your own premiums going up, but the follow-on owner's premiums could be affected, and now they don't even want to buy your home.
Right.
I think a lot of it would depend on at what point do I plan on selling the home? So how many years down the line will I be selling the home? Because eventually those claims do fall off. Uh-huh. So if you're planning on selling your home in the next year and you've already made two or three claims, yeah, you could definitely be affecting the value of your home by making another claim. I don't know if I would quite say $100,000, but yes, it could definitely affect it, at least the saleability.
Yeah. Now, your damage when after you installed pipe, you had another leak that caused you to have to do some rework to your remodel, correct?
Right. The scope of the remodel expanded significantly once the mold was found.
And then after everything was done, wasn't there another leak found afterwards that you said did something to your wood floors?
Right. After they did the work that was done, there was a screw screwed into my brand new copper pipe. So, So when they did a little bit of last minute work on that same pipe, it jostled it enough to create a small leak that was big enough that within a week or two, my brand new floors were buckling and getting worse and worse by the day. And that ended up causing another $5,000 worth of damage that the workers did not take responsibility for. So it came out of my pocket.
And you chose not to file an insurance claim on that one?
Correct.
So help me understand, why did they not feel that they were responsible for that?
Well, my understanding was that they were taking responsibility for it. When they came in, I said, there's, I think, a leak, but I need to go to an appointment. So they stayed behind. When I got back that afternoon, they had destroyed my kitchen. They had taken out drywall. They had removed half the flooring into my kitchen, my living room, my dining room. And the wife of the worker looked at me and she said, don't worry, we're taking care of this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I thought it was fine. Several weeks later, they presented me with a bill. So,
wow.
So that's why I didn't make a claim, because I thought they were going to take responsibility for it, but they didn't.
I'm sorry to hear that. First of all, you have the problem, and then you have to go live somewhere else. And on top of that, you have to pay the bill. That's always a nice cherry on the cake, so to say.
Yeah.
So beyond leaks, I'm kind of interested in here in the Southern California area. There are, of course, more and more people who are conscious of the drought situation that we've had and try to conserve water, try to conserve energy. Do you see that as a growing trend in the houses that you come across? And if you do, in what kind of ways do you see homeowners interested or compensate for drought issues?
Drought-tolerant landscaping is huge. If a house has too much lawn, too many plants to be watered, too much water that they can see will cost them money, mm-hmm. It's a definite negative on the house. Or it's not as desirable to a larger market.
And is it pretty much the drought tolerant landscaping that they focus on? Or because I still see lots of houses with pools, and I always have the impression that you lose a lot of water through pools. I'm not sure if that's actually the case, but is there, beyond landscaping, is there any other things that they look at or are interested in?
Yeah, a lot of people don't want pools, not necessarily because of the water, although that is part of it, but also because of the electricity that it consumes. So if a house doesn't have solar, then it's going to be much more expensive to run the pump in the pool.
Sure.
But the landscaping in the pool are the main things that people look at in terms of water usage.
And do you see any level of automation in the home being brought into or being talked about? All kinds of automation that you're maybe familiar with, like automatic lights, but also garage doors and that sort of thing. Do you see that becoming more a discussion point, or is that still far away?
Yeah, the smart homes, they're still a novelty. You know, it's like, ooh, isn't that cool? I don't know that it sells or doesn't sell a house, but it's a nice talking point. And you can, it's fun to talk it up and say, isn't this a cool feature? Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
So when you encounter a home that has those types of features, would you definitely bring that out? Or do you sort of, how do you deal with it as a realtor?
Sure. Yeah, I would definitely point it out and talk it up as a positive. Help to sell the home faster. I don't know that it would help it to sell for more money yet.
Yeah.
We might not be too far down the road for that.
So, but you don't see homes with home automation that people perceive as a negative, as in, oh, that complicates my life. And oh my gosh, all this electronic stuff. I don't have time for that. Do you see that too, or not at all?
The only negative I've heard in terms of smart homes, it would be safety. They're concerned that if somebody got a hold of their phone, then they might be able to sure. open the garage door when they're not around and, you know, do something, but that somebody might be able to hack in to their home. That's the fear. But in terms of ease of life, no, it's a definite positive.
I see.
Well, Cynthia, you've been a wealth of information here, not only with your own personal experience with your home, but about insurance claims and some advice as a realtor. If some folks who are listening to this would like to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you and perhaps get some more answers to their questions?
Thank you for that. They can certainly call me, 858-353-1638, or they can visit my website at www.cynthiaelizondo.com. Real easy.
All right. Well, thank you, Cynthia. I really appreciate all that insight and sharing your, sounds like not so pleasant experience with that remodel / replumbing / reflooring / reinsurance.
I survived.
It seems like you had an experience of a lifetime that you probably don't want to go through again. So thank you so much. And Joost, anything you wanted to add before we close out?
No. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for coming on the show. And it was nice talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Have a nice day.
Thank you for listening to our IntelliSee podcast. Until next time.